All right, so are you ready to learn about the history of education? You sent over some really cool research, and I have to admit, I'm excited to go through it all with you.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
So we're going to go all the way back, like to ancient times, basically, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty wild ride when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, going from like ancient civilizations to, you know, the classrooms we know today.
Exactly.
And I think what's really interesting about this is it's not just some, you know, boring history lesson, you know,
like right.
Understanding where education came from, I think, can really help us understand where it's going and what it means for, you know, you today as the listener.
I love that. Okay, so let's start way back in ancient Mesopotamia, Egypt, you know, like 2000 BCE.
Okay.
Now, instead of classrooms, picture edubas. And they were basically just houses full of clay tablets.
Oh, wow.
And those tablets, that's where students learned to write in cuneiform, like one of the very first writing systems.
It's hard to even imagine, like, mastering something like that.
Oh, I know.
It makes our complaints about, you know, typing too much seem pretty small.
Oh, for sure. But it's also interesting, you know, back then, education was a lot different. Like, it wasn't about, like, personal growth or, you know, exploring your passions or anything like that.
Yeah, it was really all about creating scribes, right? Like, those were the people that basically ran society.
Right, they were like the record keepers.
Yeah, the administrators of the ancient world.
Exactly.
And you have to think, Mesopotamia was really complex. You know, they had trade and laws and this huge bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah.
And scribes were the ones that kept everything running.
Yeah.
Their knowledge was literally power, shaping the whole civilization.
So even way back then, education was like a path, I guess, to power and moving up in society.
Yeah. I mean, some things never change, right?
That's true. Yeah. But it also makes you wonder, who got that power?
Yeah, that's a great point. It was mainly boys from elite families who got to become scribes. So this early system already had a kind of hierarchy,
right,
which limited access to knowledge and to power. And that that struggle for equity in education, I think, is something we see throughout all of history, right?
Totally. Okay, let's skip ahead a bit to ancient Greece.
Oh, all right, let's go.
You know, togas, philosophy, democracy.
Yeah.
What's happening with education there?
Well, in Greece, we see kind of a shift. Practical skills are still important, but there's this new focus on developing well-rounded citizens.
Okay.
It's where we get the idea of liberal arts.
Oh, wow.
Focusing on things like critical thinking and rhetoric and philosophy.
Sure.
Think about Plato and Aristotle's academies.
Yeah.
They weren't just schools. They were like hubs of intellectual debate and discovery.
It's crazy how those names are still so influential today. Like, they were huge figures in philosophy.
Yeah.
And their ideas about education are still so relevant, even today.
Absolutely. And even though ancient Greece seems so far away from, you know, our world, that emphasis on critical thinking, questioning everything, that's something we still value in education today.
Yeah. But I bet there's a catch.
You got it.
Access was still limited, right?
Right. Again, even with these big new ideas, education in Greece was still mainly a privilege for elite males.
Man, it's amazing how that keeps happening.
All
right, so from Greece, let's head over to ancient Rome.
All right.
What was their take on education?
Well, the Romans, right, they were all about being practical.
Yeah, they loved their leadership.
Leadership, totally. And they actually adopted a lot of stuff from the Greek model, but put their own spin on it.
Oh, interesting.
Education in Rome was all about getting young men ready for public service and leadership roles. Imagine, you know, powerful senators giving speeches all thanks to their great education.
Oh, okay. So still mostly elite and male dominated.
Yeah.
But with a big focus on training leaders.
Exactly. And even though, you know, the content and the methods were different, this Roman idea about public service, you know, makes us ask a big question. What's the purpose of education?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is it about, like, personal potential, or is it about serving society, or maybe both? It's something to think about as we move forward in time.
It really is. It's like we're seeing how all these ideas have built on top of each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, let's go to medieval Europe.
Okay.
You know, think castles, cathedrals, monks.
Hmm.
Not exactly what you think of when you think of, you know, learning and education.
You might be surprised. I mean, it's true that this was a time when the church had a ton of power, but it was also a time when education took a really interesting turn.
Oh.
You know, Europe was going through some crazy times, and monasteries became like vital centers of learning. They were preserving knowledge that might have been lost otherwise.
It's kind of amazing to think about those monks like copying manuscripts by hand.
Totally.
Talk about dedication to learning.
Right. And on top of that, they started cathedral schools.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these schools had a broader curriculum, but religion was still, like, the main thing. You have to remember the context. The church had so much influence.
Right.
They basically controlled what was taught and who got to learn, mainly boys going into the church or becoming nobles.
So not really a time of, you know, free thinking and open discussion.
Not really. But here's the twist. These cathedral schools, with all their focus on study and debate, they actually laid the groundwork for what would become the university system.
Wow. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, it just shows that even when access to education is limited, that desire for knowledge, it always finds a way.
It's amazing how these things happen in the most unexpected places. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's fast forward to the Renaissance. Art, science, humanism.
Hmm.
How did this all affect education?
The Renaissance, that was a period of big change, and education totally got caught up in it. We see the rise of humanism, a philosophy that was all about the potential of the individual and the importance of, you know, developing the whole person, not just for religious reasons. It was a direct challenge to the church's role in education.
Okay, so pretty big deal then.
Totally. And this humanist idea had a huge impact on education. We start to see what we might call public schools, but access was still mostly for boys from wealthy families.
So still a long way to go for, you know, true equality, but a step in a new direction.
Yeah, for sure. And then, boom, right in the middle of the Renaissance, something happens that changes everything about how knowledge is shared.
Gutenberg's printing press.
You got it. That was like the internet of its time. Think about it. Books didn't have to be copied by hand anymore.
Yeah.
They were being printed, which meant that knowledge was cheaper and easier to get.
Right.
It was a turning point. Knowledge wasn't just stuck in monasteries anymore. It was spreading like crazy.
It's an incredible image. Knowledge breaking free. Okay, let's fast forward again. The Industrial Revolution. You know, factories, cities, a whole new world popping up.
Yeah.
How does education deal with all that change?
Well, the Industrial Revolution created a whole new need. They needed workers that could keep up with all this technology.
Oh, right.
And that's where we see the start of mass public education, the kind we know today.
So education went from individual enlightenment to, you know, needing to fill the needs of an industrial society.
Exactly. Governments realized that they needed educated workers to grow their economy. And that led to laws that made education mandatory, a huge step towards making sure every child, including girls, got to go to school.
Wow. So that's when education became a right, not a privilege.
Exactly. And this is the era where we get a lot of the stuff we see in schools today. Standardized curriculum, grade levels, and of course, standardized tests. They wanted a system that could educate tons of students efficiently and get them ready for the workforce.
But I'm guessing there were some downsides to all that?
For sure. While public education was great in a lot of ways, it also had problems. There were still differences in how boys and girls were educated, and different social classes had different educational paths, so more people had access, but it wasn't really equal.
Yeah, it reminds you that progress isn't always perfect. All right, let's jump to the 20th century. So many changes, world wars, all this new technology.
Yeah.
How did education handle all of that?
Oh, man, the 20th century was crazy for education. We see public education systems getting more, well, refined, I guess.
Okay.
Standardized testing gets big as a way to compare how students are doing. Governments get more involved. We get things like school lunch programs to make sure kids aren't hungry.
Right.
And uniforms to try and make things more equal.
Or at least, you know, make everyone look the same.
Yeah. Exactly. And of course, there's the fight for gender equality in education.
Right. We made progress.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But there are still challenges.
Absolutely. Like the gap we see in STEM fields. But the 20th century also changed how we get information completely. First, it was radio, then TV, then computers. Learning wasn't limited to classrooms or textbooks anymore. It was right there at your fingertips.
It's crazy how much things have changed, you know, going from those old scribes to, you know, students using computers and all that.
Yeah, it really makes you think.
And it seems like all these changes, all these different ways of doing education, they all show this constant back and forth, right?
Yeah, like this tension.
Between tradition and innovation.
Like yeah.
Trying to keep what works and also adapt to the new stuff that's always coming up.
Exactly. It's like trying to hit a target that keeps moving.
Yeah, exactly. So after all this research, what stands out to you about the future of education?
Well, one thing that's really clear is that personalized learning is becoming huge. For centuries, education was like one size fits all. But now with technology, we can actually customize the learning experience to each student.
It's like having a personal tutor for everyone, but, you know, run by algorithms.
Right. And that could be really powerful, especially for students that learn differently or have specific goals.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But it also seems like it could create some problems too.
Oh, for sure. Like, how do we make sure personalized learning doesn't make existing inequalities worse?
Right.
And how do we balance this individual instruction with the social and collaborative side of learning? Those are really big questions right now.
Yeah, it seems like technology is a big part of all this change, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's playing two roles, really. On one hand, it gives us amazing ways to access information,
yeah,
to do interactive learning, to connect with people around the world. But on the other hand, it brings up issues with digital equity, screen time, mm-hmm, and the possibility of technology being distracting or even manipulative.
It's like a double-edged sword.
Mm.
All these great tools, but we have to be smart about how we use them.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not just about the tools themselves, but about the skills you need to succeed in a digital world. Critical thinking, creativity, problem solving, being able to adapt. Those are the things that will always be important no matter what job you have.
So it's not enough to just learn how to code,
yeah,
or use the newest software?
Nope. It's about those human skills that technology can't copy.
That makes sense. So we've got personalized learning, using technology. What else is coming up?
Well, another big one is social-emotional learning. For a long time, education was all about, you know, reading, writing, math.
Right, the basics.
But now we're realizing that students need to develop emotional intelligence.
Right.
Empathy, resilience, how to build good relationships.
It's true. What good are all those technical skills if you can't work with people, manage your stress, or, you know, bounce back from tough times?
Exactly. And as the world gets more complex and interconnected, these social-emotional skills are going to be even more important.
Okay, so we've got personalized learning, integrating technology, and social-emotional skills. Anything else big coming out of this research?
One more thing I want to highlight is lifelong learning. The idea that you finish learning after school is going away fast.
That's a big change from how it used to be. You know, go to school, get a degree, and then that's it. Like, you have your career for life.
Right. It feels like that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, totally.
Now, with all the changes happening so fast, people are going to have lots of different careers, change fields, maybe even start their own businesses. So being able to learn on your own, find new information, and be okay with change, those are essential skills.
It's not just about what you learn in school, but about always being ready to learn new things.
Exactly. And that changes things for educators.
Right.
How do we keep that love of learning alive, that curiosity that makes you want to keep experiencing even as you're done with school?
Hmm.
How do we give students the tools to deal with a world that's so unpredictable?
Those are some big questions.
They really are. And thankfully, people are coming up with new approaches. Things like project-based learning, studies that combine different subjects, solving real-world problems, mentoring programs.
Oh, wow.
These are all ways to make learning more meaningful, to go beyond just memorizing stuff for tests.
It's about thinking critically, being creative, working together. Those things that will matter no matter what the future looks like. It's really exciting to see how much effort people are putting into the future of education.
It really is. And it reminds us that we all have a part to play in this. It doesn't matter if you're a student, a teacher, a parent, or just someone who's curious. The choices we make and the conversations we have today will shape education in the future.
Absolutely. So after this incredible journey, you know, from those ancient adubas to personalized learning and AI, what do you think is next?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
And I want to bring it back to you, the listener. What surprised you the most about all this history of education? What made you see things in a new way?
I also wonder if you see any connections to your own experiences in school. Was there a teacher that really inspired you?
Like those ancient philosophers?
Yeah. Or maybe a piece of technology that changed how you learn, like the printing press did back in the day.
It's really cool to think about how these historical moments are part of our lives and how they shape how we think about education.
Yeah, and it shows us that education isn't something that stays the same.
Right.
It changes all the time to keep up with challenges and possibilities. We saw that in the past, and it's happening even faster now. We're in the digital age, and we're figuring out what it means for fairness, accessibility, and even what the point of education is in a world that's changing so fast.
So as we finish up, let's think about one last thing. If history teaches us anything, it's that change is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what direction will it take? What will education be like in the future?
That's for all of us to decide. The future of education isn't set in stone. We shape it through what we do and the choices we make. So I want to leave you with a challenge. What will your role be in shaping the future of learning? What kind of world do you want, and how can education help us get there?
This deep dive gave us a lot to think about.
Yeah.
But it's just the beginning. We have so much more to discuss.
I know. I can't wait to see what we learn next.
Same here. And to everyone listening, thanks for coming along on this journey through the history of education.
Yeah, thanks everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye for now.
And this humanist idea had a huge impact on education. We start to see what we might call public schools, but access was still mostly for boys from wealthy families.
So still a long way to go for, you know, true equality, but a step in a new direction.
Yeah, for sure. And then, boom, right in the middle of the Renaissance, something happens that changes everything about how knowledge is shared.
Gutenberg's printing press.
You got it. That was like the internet of its time. Think about it. Books didn't have to be copied by hand anymore.
Yeah.
They were being printed, which meant that knowledge was cheaper and easier to get.
Right.
It was a turning point. Knowledge wasn't just stuck in monasteries anymore. Mm-hmm. It was spreading like crazy.
It's an incredible image, knowledge breaking free. Okay, let's fast forward again. The Industrial Revolution.
Right.
You know, factories, cities, a whole new world popping up.
Yeah.
How does education deal with all that change?
Well, the Industrial Revolution created a whole new need. They needed workers that could keep up with all this technology.
Oh, right.
And that's where we see the start of mass public education, the kind we know today.
So education went from individual enlightenment to, you know, needing to fill the needs of an industrial society.
Exactly. Governments realized that they needed educated workers to grow their economy, and that led to laws that made education mandatory, a huge step towards making sure every child, including girls, got to go to school.
Wow, so that's when education became a right, not a privilege. Exactly, and this is the era where we get a lot of the stuff we see in schools today. Standardized curriculum, grade levels, and of course standardized tests. They wanted a system that could educate tons of students efficiently and get them ready for the workforce.
But I'm guessing there were some downsides to all of that.
For sure. While public education was great in a lot of ways, it also had problems.
Yeah.
There were still differences in how boys and girls were educated, and different social classes had different educational paths, so more people had access, but it wasn't really equal.
Yeah, it reminds you that progress isn't always perfect. All right, let's jump to the 20th century. So many changes, world wars, all this new technology.
Yeah.
How did education handle all of that?
Oh, man. The 20th century was crazy for education. We see public education systems getting more, well, refined, I guess.
Okay.
Standardized testing gets big as a way to compare how students are doing. Governments get more involved. We get things like school lunch programs to make sure kids aren't hungry.
Right.
And uniforms to try and make things more equal.
Or at least, you know, make everyone look the same.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, there's the fight for gender equality in education.
Right. We made progress.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But there are still challenges.
Absolutely. Like the gap we see in STEM fields.
Yeah.
But the 20th century also changed how we get information completely. First, it was radio, then TV, then computers. Learning wasn't limited to classrooms or textbooks anymore. It was right there at your fingertips.
It's crazy how much things have changed, you know, going from those old scribes to, you know, students using computers and all that.
Yeah, it really makes you think.
And it seems like all these changes, all these different ways of doing education, they all show this constant back and forth, right?
Yeah, like this tension.
Between tradition and innovation, like trying to keep what works and also adapt to the new stuff that's always coming up.
Exactly. It's like trying to hit a target that keeps moving.
Yeah, exactly. So after all this research, what stands out to you about the future of education?
Well, one thing that's really clear is that personalized learning is becoming huge. For centuries, education was like one size fits all. But now with technology, we can actually customize the learning experience to each student.
It's like having a personal tutor for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, run by algorithms.
Right. And that could be really powerful, especially for students that learn differently or have a specific goal.
I can see that. But it also seems like it could create some problems, too.
Oh, for sure. Like, how do we make sure personalized learning doesn't make existing inequalities worse?
Right.
And how do we balance this individual instruction with the social and collaborative side of learning? Those are really big questions right now.
Yeah, it seems like technology is a big part of all this change, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's playing two roles, really. On one hand, it gives us amazing ways to access information, to do interactive learning, mm-hmm. to connect with people around the world. But on the other hand, it brings up issues with digital equity, screen time, and the possibility of technology being distracting or even manipulative.
It's like a double-edged sword. All these great tools. But we have to be smart about how we use them.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not just about the tools themselves, but about the skills you need to succeed in a digital world. Critical thinking, creativity, problem solving, being able to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that will always be important, no matter what job you have.
So it's not enough to just learn how to code or use the newest software?
Nope. It's about those human skills that technology can't copy.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we've got personalized learning, using technology. What else is coming up?
Well, another big one is social-emotional learning. For a long time, education was all about, you know, reading, writing, math.
Right. The basics.
But now we're realizing that students need to develop emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Empathy, resilience, how to build good relationships.
It's true. What good are all those technical skills if you can't work with people, manage your stress, or, you know, bounce back from tough times?
Exactly. And as the world gets more complex and interconnected, these social-emotional skills are going to be even more important.
Okay, so we've got personalized learning, integrating technology, and social-emotional skills. Anything else big coming out of this research?
One more thing I want to highlight is lifelong learning. The idea that you finish learning after school is going away fast.
That's a big change from how it used to be, you know, go to school, get a degree, and then that's it. Like, you have your career for life.
Right. It feels like that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, no, totally.
Now, with all the changes happening so fast, people are going to have lots of different careers, change fields, maybe even start their own businesses. So being able to learn on your own, find new information, and be okay with change, those are essential skills.
So it's not just about what you learn in school, but about always being ready to learn new things.
Exactly. And that changes things for educators.
Right.
How do we keep that love of learning alive, that curiosity that makes you want to keep exploring even after you're done with school? How do we give students the tools to deal with a world that's so unpredictable?
Those are some big questions.
They really are. And thankfully, people are coming up with new approaches. Things like project-based learning, studies that combine different subjects, solving real-world problems, mentoring programs.
Oh, wow.
These are all ways to make learning more meaningful, to go beyond just memorizing stuff for tests.
It's about thinking critically, being creative, working together. Those things that will matter no matter what the future looks like. It's really exciting to see how much effort people are putting into the future of education.
It really is. And it reminds us that we all have a part to play in this. It doesn't matter if you're a student, a teacher, a parent, or just someone who's curious. The choices we make and the conversations we have today will shape education in the future.
Wow, what a journey, right?
I know, it's amazing to think about how far we've come, you know? From those ancient adubas to personalized learning and AI.
It really shows how much people care about learning and how it can shape, well, everything, really.
Yeah, individuals and whole societies. But like we've seen, things are still changing. The big question is, where do we go from here?
Exactly. And I want to hear from you, the listener. What surprised you the most about this history of education? What made you think about things differently?
Yeah, and did anything remind you of your own time in school? Was there a teacher who really inspired you, like those philosophers we talked about? Or maybe some technology that changed how you learned, like the printing press did?
Yeah, it's cool to see how these historical moments are still part of our lives and how they influence how we see education today.
It really highlights how education isn't stuck in the past. It's always changing to deal with new challenges and possibilities. We saw it throughout history, and we're seeing it even more now with all this digital stuff and trying to figure out what's fair, who has access, and what the point of education even is in a world that's constantly changing.
So as we wrap things up, let's leave everyone with something to think about. If history teaches us anything, it's that change is going to happen. But what kind of change? What will education look like in the future?
That's up to all of us. It's not like it's already decided. We shape the future of education through what we do and the choices we make. So I want to challenge you. What part will you play in shaping how we learn? What kind of world do you want, and how can education help us get there? We've had a lot to think about today, but this is just the start of the conversation.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the history of education.
Yeah, thanks everyone. Until next time.
Bye for now.